This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, it's a Thursday, Sharp Money. Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Wherever you find your podcast, make sure you download, subscribe, you know, all that jazz. Mike Somich, there's a couple of things to start here. One, while we record, I've got my Detroit Tigers in Cleveland for an elimination game, so I'm going to be looking to my left if you're watching on video. Two, the reason for our timing of Sharp Money is the Thursday night game with the Rams. When we recorded on Sunday night, the Rams were 3.5. It's moved 5.5 points. That is the reason we give you Sharp Money on Sunday night into Monday morning, and then come back on Thursday after the numbers have baked. And then number three, which I think is most important, is Sharp Money needs to know what the Cool Dad Club is doing for Survivor. The Cool Dad Club.
Hey, we have a weekly lunch to talk about this now, so this is becoming a big thing now that we're 4 weeks in. I'm just happy we're still alive, Patrick. I'm just happy we're still alive because I would have felt bad if everyone threw down their $200 bucks, and then we're out after week one. So at least we're 4 weeks in here. Everyone's enjoying themselves. I'll save it for the end. Not going to reveal the Cool Dad Club. And on your point on the line moves, we got ahead of a couple here. I mean, we've had some big-time moves here. We've seen as big of a 10-point move in the market in one game. We've seen a total dip 5 points that we're in on the under already, so happy about that one. And, yeah, there's been some injuries that have come out in the last few days, which obviously are going to change the numbers.
Yeah, no, I've been enjoying the process as well. It's kind of keeping me accountable with our Sunday night show coming into Thursday. Always have watched, but because of the show, kind of keeping a keen eye. And I think the Rams hosting San Francisco in division is the greatest example, which we'll finish the program with. So let's get started. And we're going to start in London. Minnesota just in a weird spot. Dublin to London. And Cleveland, obviously, the big news there is Gabriel in for Flacco. 3.5. It's 3.5. DraftKings is actually showing Minnesota 4.5. And you've got an ultra low total of 35.5 up to 36.5.
Yeah, I was really hoping I could come back in on the Cleveland team total under. We played it last week. That was a snoozer after the first drive where they were able to score a touchdown. It's under 17, though, and so that makes me a little more, a little less appetite to jump in on the Cleveland team total under here. But this is an awful spot for the Browns. We've seen this spot the last 2 years where there's been one team waiting in Europe and another has had to fly across the pond. The team that's waiting in Europe has covered and won both of those games. If I bet Minnesota last week minus 2.5 against Pittsburgh, kind of have to bet Minnesota this week minus 3.5 against Cleveland. So I'm going to play Minnesota here. I love the spot for Minnesota, not just because of the travel, but you have a rookie quarterback who is losing prep time to fly across the pond, who I don't think is good anyway, and has to face Flores, who is a blitz-happy, scheme-happy, I'm-going-to-trick-the-quarterback kind of guy. I think this is a disaster spot for Dylan Gabriel. Give me the Vikings here laying the 3.5 points.
You know, I would hate to do it in the year of 2025, but I don't hate the under 36.5. The 3.5, look, the time zone situation, we know that Minnesota is acclimated, and certainly Cleveland will not be. Again, the short travel, of course, with the quarterback, I would lay the 3.5, but I don't, again, 36.5, I just don't think you're going to see points. That Cleveland defense might be the best defense, metric-wise, they are in all of football.
Well, that's the scary part. The other scary part is the Vikings offensive line. I mean, it is absolutely trashed at this point. All five starters were on the injury report. It sounds like we're going to get at least two of the five. That's still not a great thing, especially when one of them is your center that was a big acquisition during the offseason in Kelly. So watch the offensive line for Minnesota here. If all five miss, 3.5 doesn't feel nearly as good. I actually tried to convince the Cool Dads Club this was our Survivor play. That one got shot down. They did not want to go with Minnesota and Survivor here.
Well, akin to what we saw with a lot of people taking the Chargers, and you just never know with that interim head coach bump for a game, a rookie quarterback, you know, the backup coming in. I understand their reluctance. Let's go next up. Miami, 463 is at Carolina. Carolina's just turning into a dumpster fire. Miami, your Dolphins picked up a win against the Jets. Turnovers in the first half kind of threw that game off a little bit. Tyreek Hill, maybe a little juice out of the sails. This was one. It's 1.5 with Miami laying it on the road, which is kind of funny to say out loud, and 44.5 on the total.
Yeah, this is an interesting game here. You know, we saw the Panthers as a look ahead as a favorite, flipped to the Dolphins even without Tyreek Hill, which kind of tells you where what standing the Panthers are currently in the NFL. I've never seen someone so happy to destroy their knee, Patrick. I mean, Tyreek Hill could not stop smiling as he got carted off. He's just like, I'm going to get paid, and now I don't have to deal with this. Good for you, Tyreek. As a Dolphins fan, kind of bummed we can't trade him, but that is what it is here. Look, this is a Miami Dolphins team that's going to lean on the running game, and that means Devon Achane is going to get a ton of attempts in this game. His rush attempts prop is sitting at 12.5. I would take the over on that, but I like the rushing yards here. 64.5 for Achane. Let's go over here. I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities against a Carolina run defense that's pretty suspect and hasn't been tested as much as I expected early on in the season. I think Miami keeps it on the ground. I would lean toward the Dolphins, but this is not a side that I have, and I'll just take the HN over rushing yards prop.
Yeah, speaking of HN, that Carolina run defense is horrific. Miami's going to score. Carolina 30 against Atlanta 2 weeks ago, listless against Michael's Pats last week. They'll score at home. I like the over 44.5. 465, Samo, Dallas is at the Jets. It's a 2.5 opener. We were waiting on Sunday night to see what would happen with the Jets on Monday. We saw penalties. We saw missed tackles. We saw fumbles. We didn't see much. The market agrees with Dallas laying on the road and 47.5 on the total.
Yeah, interesting that we saw 1.5 on the opener in the look ahead here. Dallas gets upgraded off of that game against the Packers on Sunday night. And I'm not sure what you do with the Jets off that Monday night effort, because you mentioned the fumbles. Look, if Braden Allen doesn't fumble on that first drive, this is a completely different game. If the Jets don't fumble out of the break, it's a completely different game. They were able to move the football consistently on the ground. This is over a pass for me, Patrick. I do think this Cowboys team is just going to be able to score against everybody, and that defense is not very good. Look at another running back prop here with Allen out. I think Breece Hall has some juice against another bad run defense here in the Packers. So I like the Breece Hall over rushing yards prop here, and I lean toward the over in the game.
Yeah, I don't hate the over. The best player on the field by far will be Dak Prescott, who is, you know, he's gotten killed a lot. He is playing exceptionally well. And I thought pressured more, you know, kind of the narrative coming out of that Packer game was that Parsons did nothing. But Dak was just exquisite in the game. He's going to score against this Jets defense. I'll lay the 2.5 before it gets to 3 with Dallas. 467, the Raiders, Samo, at the Colts. This one's interesting. You know, I gave Michael 7.5, which it was yesterday. It has now dipped, so I'll have to adjust. Indy is laying 6.5 or 7. So if you like the Raiders, you can catch a 7. If you like Indy, you can lay the 6.5.
Yeah, all the 7.5s got bought up pretty quickly. A little surprised, to be honest with you. Geno Smith has really struggled throwing the deep ball in the losses. He's just 0-for-17 on passes over 10 yards in 2 of the 3 losses with 6 interceptions. This Colts defense, pretty good. Now, we did lose Xavien Howard, who decided he was just randomly going to retire, which, I mean, not that big of a loss for the Colts secondary. Wasn't that good anyway. I think this is a spot where you see both these teams move the football. I'm still convinced that Indianapolis is going to be able to move the football against anybody. And on the Raiders side, their offense, when pushed, can push the ball down the field. There's a 47.5 in the market. I'll take the over here. Remember, this was 47.5 last week when it was Raiders against Bears. This is a better offense and about the same defense as Chicago and Indianapolis. I'm surprised we're sitting at anything under 48 here. So gobble up the 47.5 while it's available. I think this kicks at 48.5, maybe even 49 by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah, I don't hate the over there as well. I'll say this, withstanding the Miami game, Indy's been great, but they don't run people out of the building. This is a hold your nose and I'll take the 7 with the Raiders. I actually don't think the Raiders are awful. And I think the 3 consecutive pick games for Geno, he's going to slow down a little bit. The run game got going a little bit there for the Raiders. I think they keep it within a touchdown. I'll take the 7. I don't love it. 469, Denver. So I don't really know how to analyze Denver. The offense was off the charts against a Bengals team that, while being 2-2, seem a little mutinous. Denver 469 is at Philly. Philly is laying 3.5, up to 4.5 at a couple of shops. 43.5 on the total. Philly's won 4 straight, and they've been outgained in every game. Good luck.
Yeah, that does not doesn't work long term. We've got AJ Brown, who's already upset. He's reading his books on the sideline again. We got cryptic tweets that are coming out. Never know what he is feeling. This happened once last year, Patrick, when you had all the tweets and all the books and all that jazz. And what happened? A.J. Brown got fed, specifically early in the game. Love a prop in this one. A.J. Brown to have a reception on the first drive for the Philadelphia Eagles is minus 110. I think the squeaky wheel gets the grease here. I think you're going to see early targets to A.J. Brown. From a game perspective, I kind of agree with the move here toward the Broncos. It feels like, look, if Bo Nix wasn't so bad in the first two games, I would be all over the Broncos in this spot. Now, he's been better the last two games, but you mentioned it. I think it's very hard to judge anyone against Cincinnati right now, because that defense is absolutely atrocious, and if you can block Trey Henderson, you're going to be able to put up points. You're going to be allowed to be able to have success. And they had players just running wide open all over the place. We saw Dobbins get going on the ground. We saw Harvey get going on the ground. So I'm not ready to just jump in and say this Broncos offense is magically fixed. It's a lean toward the Broncos for me. At 3.5, I'm not getting enough points where I want to play it. I also lean toward Broncos first half. We've seen some kind of sluggish starts from Philly. I wouldn't be shocked if that continues in this game, where they try and establish the run. They try and get A.J. Brown involved early. But that doesn't mean they're going to be able to drive down and score the football. So I lean toward the Broncos first half, lean toward Broncos full game. But I am going to play A.J. Brown reception on that first drive prop at minus 110. I think he gets fed early.
Yeah, there was a time you and I were talking about doing a YouTube channel about the James Bond series. I'm thinking about a book club YouTube channel, so I'm thinking about getting a hold of A.J. Brown. I just started Maltese Falcon, which is a crime thriller. I'm not sure if A.J.'s into that genre, but I've been keeping an eye on the books, which is not good for Philly. I hate this game. I don't have a feel for Denver. I don't have a feel for Philly. If I were forced to do anything, I'd go to FanDuel and take the 4.5 with Denver. Outside of that, I will pass. 470.
One really scary part for Philly is if you rewind to last week and you look at that Bucks game, the adjustment the Bucks made in the second half was rush four and be able to drop seven and get two Hurts with the front four. That's what Denver does really well. That is how they are built on the defensive
side.
Highest
pressure rate in the NFL.
And it's with their front four. They don't have to blitz to get it. And that is the kryptonite for pretty much any offense, but especially this Philly offense. If you can stop the run and you can get to the quarterback and you're not using extra resources to blitz, Philadelphia has trouble moving the football. Kind of talking myself into the under as we talk through this as well, where I'm not sure either offense really able to get it going here. But I do think this is a tougher game for Philly than what some people assume. And I think the market is right moving toward the Denver side.
No, great point. Lead the NFL in sacks as well. That's Denver not bringing a ton. So Denver's defense starting to be what we kind of projected them to be coming off of last year with additions. 471, the Giants are at New Orleans. And this number's flipped, right? Because it was 1-2 when we were here on Sunday. It has gone through zero, not the biggest move ever, but you are starting to see some twos on New Orleans, 1.5s, and I said it on Sunday, I love New Orleans here. Love New Orleans here. They're professionals. They've got to get a win. This is the week at home. They've actually played pretty well, even in Buffalo, hanging around. Outside of Seattle, they've been in every game. And I think the Giants, after the game, there was a Thibodeau clip where he was told about neighbors he didn't know, and you could just see the life suck out of his body. I love this spot for the Saints. Give me the Saints.
Yeah, I wish we had teased the Saints on Sunday, Patrick, because we could have taken them up to +8 when they were sitting there at +2. We both missed that one, so we'll have to keep an eye on some of those teasers moving forward on Sunday nights as well, because that would be a phenomenal leg. And now you've got the Saints laying the two. I do lean toward the Saints in this spot. It feels like this is their chance, right? And you said these are professionals. They want to win a football game. If you want to win one, it's now or never. And that neighbor's injury really – it restricts what the Giants are able to do from a dynamic offensive perspective. Like, who are you scared of now? Jalen Hyatt? Wandell Robinson? Like, these aren't players where you're worried about them stretching the field. So now you really just have to worry about controlling this run game. And I do think Jackson Dart was a very, very willing and interested runner in that first game, but now he's on the injury list with a hammy. That's a concern. We saw him get removed for a concussion because he was so reckless, or a concussion check, I should say, because he was so reckless in that game last week. I just don't know how long you can consistently run the way he is running and be able to stay healthy inside the NFL. So then it's really all on Scadaboo in a short passing game. I kind of lean toward the under here, Patrick. I don't think either of these offenses are all that dynamic. I think the pass rush for the Giants able to get home in this spot against a weaker offensive line for the Saints. And I think the Giants are just content with trying to win the game 17-14. I don't think that they're trying to put up a 30 spot here against New Orleans. So lean New Orleans, lean the under, but don't have a bet in this one yet.
I hate how much I like New Orleans. We'll talk on Sunday night after they get blown out. I hate it. I will say the Giants-Chargers game, if we jocked the Chargers nonstop. I think a lot of that had to do with the Chargers couldn't have been worse in that game. And Herbert was bad in the game.
Herbert was bad. And like, I don't think people give enough due toward offensive line injuries in game. Losing Joe Alt was a huge loss for them, especially after they lost their number one left tackle. So essentially, you took your right tackle, you put him at left tackle. So you've got your backup left tackle and your backup right tackle. Now your left tackle gets injured. Your guard got injured in that game as well. So you're starting your third string left tackle, your second string right tackle, and a second string guard on the inside. We saw the Giants pass rush just consistently being able to win. I thought that was really the difference for that Giants team on the defensive side. Herbert didn't have any time to throw whatsoever, and we were able to see the Giants get enough points in that game and to be able to squeak by. So it's one of those where I want to give the Giants credit. But at the same time, I think that was one of those reasonable NFL losses. When you get hit with injuries in game to positions you're already short at, it is very hard to be able to adjust and try and find a way, especially when you're dealing with the strength of the opposing team where you are getting hurt.
Yep. Samo 473s, Houston and Baltimore. I handicapping this game is just like flip a coin. One. Now you can tell me the look ahead of the opener there, because it's now Houston laying 1.5. My assumption was on Sunday night, Baltimore was a slight favorite here, and 40.5 on the total.
I mean, slight is one way to put it. The other would be Baltimore was a 9.5-point favorite in this game.
I forgot.
So we have an 11-point line move. Now, why did it move 11 points? Well, there are 8 starters, including Lamar Jackson, who are going to miss this game for Baltimore. I'm riding the under, Patrick. We talked about playing the under, which was 45.5 on Sunday night. We reopened this under, or I should say it got bet down after the reopen to 40.5 where it's sitting now. I would still take the under. The funny thing, this actually took over money yesterday. So it was as low as 39.5 in the market. We've seen over money come in, push it back over 40. I've played the Texans under for 4 straight weeks. I don't think the market is right here, because I get that people are like, well, Baltimore's so banged up on the defensive side, Houston's going to be able to get theirs. Are they? Are they, Patrick? Because they have not gotten theirs against anybody, including Tennessee last week, where they had 6 points headed into the fourth quarter, and that was because they clicked on 2 pass plays on those drives. It wasn't anything like they're methodically marching down the field. Now, Woody Marks got going a little last week. We'll see what happens there. But there was a viral clip, I don't know if you saw this, of the offensive line on a run play where there were 6 blockers for the Texans. 2 of them blocked each other, and the other 4 blocked 1 Titan. And Simmons just ran right up the middle and tackled the quarterback, Stroud, before he could hand the ball off. That's what we're dealing with.
It's not ideal.
Offensive line. It's not ideal.
Not ideal. I love the under. We know what the game plan is going to be for Baltimore. I think he had 8 carries last week. That's Derrick Henry. Harbaugh is just, he is going to feed Henry and feed Henry and feed Henry with so many injuries. And by the way, the defense of Baltimore is so banged up, but still Houston's offense, even against the Titans, was trifling. So I like the under.
We got to talk about what to do with Baltimore long-term as well. Cause we, when we're talking about, you know, when we're on together over on Mad Dog Sports Radio on Fridays, we often talk about, hey, when should we be looking at betting a team's future market? And right now the Ravens are at 10.5 on their win total. Came out today that Lamar Jackson is doubtful for next week against the Rams. So they are going to be dogs in back-to-back weeks here without Lamar Jackson, with Cooper Rush as the backup. If that's the case, let's say they're 1-5 and they head into their bye, Patrick, it could be a sneaky good time to bet the Ravens to win the division. They're -145 right now. But you look at the rest of that division, it's the Steelers who are sitting at 3-1. They're your second choice inside the division. Then you've got the Browns, who have no chance of winning this division, and the Bengals, who have no chance of winning this division. But the key is looking at the Ravens'
schedule. Soft.
After the bye, I mean, if you want to read it off, I don't have it in front of me. It is literally a cupcake factory for them. And so if they get healthy, and you've got Lamar, and that defense gets half of the dudes back, they could rip off 10 in a row after that bye.
Yeah, their schedule gets super soft. So they have, where are we right now? We are Texans. So then they have, that's not the right one. And by the way, I wanted to say they're down to 135 as far as the division. And you mentioned the 3-1 Pittsburgh team. They are right now plus 150. Let me just pull up the schedule because I think this is important. You're 100% right because it gets so soft. Okay, here we go. So they do have Houston this week. They then host the Rams. Okay, they host the Bears. They're at the Dolphins. They're at the Vikings. They're at the Browns. They host the Jets. They host the Bengals. They host the Steelers, which will be huge. They go to the Bengals. They host the Patriots. No offense, Michael. They go to the Packers. They close at the Steelers. That last game of the week probably means something.
Yeah, it probably does. And the key here, too, is that after that Rams game, you have a bye, which means that you've got this week, you've got next week, which are could both be losses. And if they are, that is your entry point to be able to go in and get a good price on this Ravens team because you have essentially 4 weeks to get healthy between now and when that second half of the schedule starts. And again, it's Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals, Steelers, Bengals. It is bad. Like, they could easily rip off eight straight right out of the bye. I'm keeping an eye on them. If the news is good after they lose, I'm hoping they lose the next 2 weeks. If the news is good during the bye week, you're going to get plus money on them to win the division. That is a great time to enter. If you don't want to do a division, you'll be able to get right around even money to make the playoffs. Also a very good entry point considering the rest of that schedule.
This is a podcast, so the real-time celebration doesn't matter, but I don't give a flip. The Tigers have scored against the Guardians.
Go.
Let's go, kitties. Let's effing go. 475, Tennessee's at Arizona. 7.5, 8.5. You know, there's a lot going on with Tennessee, and it's almost like they've caught themselves in a catch-22. They're going to have to start over with a rookie quarterback, but you don't want to a la David Carr and others that have been ruining their first year. But Ward doesn't stand a chance right now. Pressured nonstop. The offense looks completely disjointed. The head coach is a walking duck. I mean, you know, he's a sacrificial lamb at this point because they're trying to figure out what to do. The general manager's new. He's not going to keep them, but they keep playing football. They're at Arizona at 7.5, 8.5 at one shot.
Yeah, it's going to be your top pick in Survivor this week. Not the Cool Dad's pick. We've already used the Cardinals, so I'll be a big Titans fan come Sunday here. This is a good teaser game, and that's about as far as I would go. I don't really want to lay the 7.5. I don't feel like 7.5 is enough for me to come in on the other side. I have the Cardinals at eight-point favorites, according to my numbers on this game. So we're right in that segment where I think it kind of matches. It fits to what I would expect. I'm worried about this Cardinals run game, right? So they lose Connor. They lose Benson for 4-6. So now it's Amari DeMarcado and Michael Carter, who are your running backs, which means it's probably Kyler Murray's job to win this football game. And anytime it's Kyler Murray's job to win a football game, Patrick, I do get slightly nervous, especially laying more than a touchdown. So it's a teaser game for me. I'll take the Cardinals down. Trey McBride should also have a very good game. This is a Tennessee team that struggles to cover tight ends. I think McBride able to have a big game here as well. So let's look at some of his reception props because he's going to get a boatload of targets in this one.
Yeah, I'll tease that one down too, and I'll match it up with our game tonight. Bring the Rams down to 2.5 for a little fun. We'll get to that game here in just a bit. 477, Tampa is at Seattle. And Seattle, if you have the look ahead, it's sitting now 3.5. That half point matters. 44.5 on the total. Wirfs is back, but that's about it for the Bucs. I mean, they are decimated. They continue to be. They continue to win football games in historic fashion. They almost came back against, obviously, the Eagles last week, but tremendously hard spot heading up to Seattle here.
Yeah, this is rough. Very physical game against the Eagles where they played all four quarters. Now they have to fly across the country and take on a very healthy Seattle team that's got a surprisingly good offensive line. Two of the best five run defenses in the NFL right now, Patrick. So I think rushing yards hard to come by here. Don't mind looking at the Kenneth Walker under. I think Charbonnet going to split the carries in the backfield. Walker's going to have a bigger number. So let's look at Kenneth Walker rushing yards under here in this spot. It's also a game we talked about last Thursday, a week ago, where we said lay the 1.5 with the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about on Sunday, if you want the Seahawks, lay the 3 with the Seahawks. It's not numbers going to keep moving. Bucky Irving news came out yesterday, misses practice, crutches, walking boot. That's never good. If you're in fantasy, I think Sean Tucker is actually the running back that you want from the Buccaneers. Not sure how good he'll be this week because of the Seattle D, but he's going to get a lot of those carries. He won't get the third down work. That'll still be Rashad White, but they love Sean Tucker inside this organization. So I think he is the more viable fantasy back when you got Bucky Irving out here. But I still like the Seahawks, Patrick. I think this is going to be a Seattle team that's going to be able to take care of business once again. Extra rest, home spot. I think Seattle wins this game going away. So I would, it's tough at 3.5 because you should have the 3, you should have the 1.5 in your account. Do lean toward the under here as well. I do think both of these defense play pretty good in this spot.
Okay, Sharp Money listeners, right now, as soon as you download this, there is a 3 available if you have FanDuel. It's juiced. Lay the 3.
Run and get it.
This might be a really good situation for Seattle. 479, Detroit is at Cincinnati. I mean, it's 10.5. What did we have on Sunday night? 8.5, I believe.
Sunday night on the Lions was 8.5. Look ahead, 7.5. This probably could have been our teaser leg. Right. This is one of those where if you teased on Sunday, you could have got it down to 2.5. Now we're outside of that number, which makes sense. It feels like it's just protection from the books here. Man, I kind of want to play the under here, Patrick, because I just don't know how many points Cincinnati's going to score. But I am worried that this is a spot where the Lions just hang a 40 spot by themselves. And then you're like, well, they might get to 10. So let's look at the Bengals team total under here. Under 20.5, -135 out there in the market. So Bengals team total under 20.5 in this spot.
I'll co-sign that as well. Browning is, they're going to have to make a trade because they're 2-2. And we just talked about the division. You can't give up at 2-2. And Browning is not the answer.
Who do you trade for? Who do you put behind that offensive line that doesn't stink?
I'll give you a weird name. Sam Howell.
Oh, okay. I mean, at least he's got, everyone's saying Jameis Winston. He would get crushed behind that. Like he would gun it and air it out, but he would get destroyed behind that offensive line. I don't think he makes it through the season. Howell can run. I like that. You need a mobile quarterback behind that offensive line for Cincy.
Browning against Denver was pretty funny. The Detroit defense is tremendous, and they're getting scores on special teams. 8.5 on Sunday was juicy. 10.5 starts to get funny because you're over that key number of 10. But I do like that 20.5 under team total as well. It's a good job digging that up. 481, Jaden Daniels is in. I don't think McLaurin plays. They're at the Chargers. The Chargers, as you mentioned, no Alt, no Slater, obviously. Chargers, 2.5, 48 on the total. Where were we? Were we 3 on Sunday?
So this has been one of the more competitive games in the market because basically for 4 straight days, you could lay 2.5 or catch 3, depending on where you shopped around. And there's still both 2.5 and 3s in the market here. And it's juiced on both sides, which is interesting. So it's like -120 on the 2.5, -115, -120 on the 3. So depending on who you like, shop around, make sure you get the best number. I don't know what to do with either of these teams, Patrick. I mentioned the offensive line issues for the Chargers. I'm worried that's still an issue, but I don't really love this Commanders defense. So I do think that you're going to see an advantage there for the Chargers. This is a tough spot to travel across the country. The real weakness in this Chargers defense is stopping the quarterback run. How much do we think Daniel's going to run coming off a knee injury? Like, does he just get turned loose in this spot? Normally, I'd be all over Daniel's rushing props over. I just passed this game. It feels like one of those where there are so many different variables that I cannot accurately predict how they will play out for more than maybe a quarter that I wanted to sit back, watch this one. Don't need to bet every game, so I passed on this one.
I can't do anything. I have to see what Daniel's health is. And you mentioned I would look to the over 48.5 if Daniel's had the running ability. I have no clue if he's going to be able to do so. And I am very curious. That front four of the Giants is awesome. We're not getting that with the Commanders, obviously, but the missing Alt is huge. Mm-hmm. He filled in. He went right tackle to left tackle when Slater got hurt, and he had been exquisite. I would agree. Stay off it. New England is at Buffalo, 483, 8.5 in the market, 49.5. I believe it was maybe we had a 9.5 on Sunday, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, look ahead was 10, and it reopened at 8.5, some nines, and 49.5 was the reopened total. We're now sitting at 8. There are 7.5s in the market, and 49 or 48.5. in the market. So you can get 48.5 or 49.5, depending on which route you'd like to go on the total. I'm really hoping a 48 pops at some point. I've been kind of sitting here wanting to play the over at 48, and we have not quite got there. I may take a 48.5. I was really impressed with this Patriots offense, and I went back and I watched that Steelers game again, and they moved the football consistently against the Steelers. They moved the football consistently last week against the Panthers. I realize it's the Panthers defense, so grain of salt, but 2 weeks in a row, they've moved the football against defenses where I think you can at least say, specifically with the game 2 back against the Steelers, is a comparable defense to what they're going to get with Buffalo. I'm a little lower on the Patriots defense than I think the market is, so I do think Buffalo able to score here. So I kind of like a Sunday night shootout here. I think we might have another 40-40 tie on our hands, Patrick. So let's take the over at 48.5, but we'll wait it out and see if we can get a 48 flat before putting it in.
Patriots should be 3-1. The 5 turnovers against Pittsburgh. I know, Bill Parcells, you are what you're. No, that was disgusting. Goal line fumbles all over the place. Here's the thing. I think the Bills are super gettable. I think that defense is so freaking light. So I don't hate the over here, but I love the 8.5. In division, I'll take the 8.5 with the Patriots. I think it's a team, and our producer Michael loves them. I think it's a team that, and we talked about it, I might have been a little low on them coming in because they're going to keep getting better, and special teams have been exquisite for them as well, to use that word again. Give me the 8.5, and I'll just enjoy the game.
To tease or not to tease? Would you put Buffalo on your teaser card?
I'd go up with New England.
You go, oh, wow. Okay. Well, don't do that, people. If you're listening, just bet New England. Don't go. Don't take 8.5 to 14.
I don't like Buffalo. I watched intently for a multitude of reasons and mostly props. I watched intently that Buffalo, maybe sleepy spot against the Saints. Mm-hmm. The Saints were a better football team. That game was so gettable. And we saw them against Miami as well.
Yeah. The question is, like, when can we get the Bills A game? Because we got like the C-minus game.
Well,
against
Baltimore stinks, and they had heroics from Allen to pull that game off.
Yep, they did. Now, Baltimore was healthy in that first game, so it's hard to judge Baltimore versus what they are now. But like, I just want to see Buffalo's A game for a full 4 quarters. We haven't seen it yet. In the last 2 weeks, it's been sleepwalking through it. And it's funny, your boy, Amon-Ra St. Brown, don't know if you saw this, he got called out on a podcast on Tuesday because he was playing NBA 2K at 4 in the morning before the game. And he's like, look, man, some games are look ahead. Like, we don't take all of them as seriously as others. I'm kind of wondering if this is the same thing we're seeing from the Bills.
So, well, some wide receivers are readers, A.J. Brown, and some are gamers. I'm on Ross St. Brown. Honestly, I don't know why. The 8.5 just looks so juicy with the New England team. Vrabel in division, you know this is going to be a big spot for them. Sunday night, okay. Next up, Monday night, 485, Kansas City is laying now 3.5. I believe it's definitely 3 when we were sitting here on Sunday. And 45.5, 46.5 on the total. Jacksonville, they're getting a million takeaways. San Francisco isn't a good football team. I don't know what to take from that win. Kansas City got one speed weapon, and it completely changed everything for Mahomes. What do you have here?
This is one of the toughest games to handicap of the week for me. You know, right now Jacksonville is ranked number as high as number 2 in some metrics on the defensive side of the ball. And people are like, well, no, the Jacksonville defense is for real. Are we sure the Jacksonville defense is for real? Let's you know, take a gander back at their first 4, Patrick. They played the Panthers week 1. What do we think of their offense? It kind of stinks. They played the Bengals week 2, but that's when Joe Burrow got hurt. By the way, they lost that game. They played the Texans week 3, a game they should have lost, and the offense that stinks. And they played the 49ers last week with the MASH unit out there. Pearsall doesn't finish the game. No Jennings, no Kittle. Purdy's injured. Like, I just don't trust that they've actually faced a good offense yet to find out if they are any good. They also have switched over from a man to a too-high zone coverage. You know who's been facing too high for 5 years? Patrick Mahomes has been facing too high for 5 years. They are used to playing against this style of defense, keep everything in front of you. But I have no clue what to make of the Chiefs, Patrick. Like, we have one data point for their offense, really. That's last week. It was a little too good to believe. Like Worthy's not ripping off 35-yard runs every single game. You're not getting explosive plays across the board from him. This is one where if you told me I had to bet something, I would bet Worthy over 4.5 rush yards because he will get one carry in this game, and I do think that he has the opportunity, especially against a too-high zone, to be able to take that for over 5 yards. Second would be Kansas City. I would just lay the 3.5 because I still don't trust the offense for this Jacksonville Jaguars team either. I'm not a Trevor Lawrence guy. I've not been a Trevor Lawrence guy for 3 years. In the big spot, do you really want to take Trevor Lawrence over Patrick Mahomes?
And also, I think the second key here is Spagnuolo.
Yes.
Lawrence hasn't taken a step forward this year. You're going to expect it. There's fumble luck. There's turnover luck. They've been forcing a million turnovers, Jacksonville. There's a 3 for Sharp Money listeners right now, juice to 118 at FanDuel. So I would suggest that. Other than that, I'd stay away. 301. This one I refuse to give a play because of the spirit of the show. We were here on Sunday, so you got to download every show. And we said, go buy the Rams at 3 right now. I said it'd get up to 5.5. I am so wrong. It's 8.5 with the Rams laying it.
It's a mass unit, man. Like, who is out there for San Francisco? And it's not just on the offensive side. We'll hit on those injuries real quick. Jennings, Pearsall, Kittle, and the quarterback Purdy, all out. So it's McCaffrey, it's Tungus, and it is Mac Jones. Good luck with that. But to me, the bigger issue here is on the defensive side, Patrick. Okay, they had three studs to start the year. Cornerback, Wagner, linebacker, and Bosa. Bosa was supposed to be their pass rush, okay? He is gone. Do you know what their pass rush win rate was last week?
Say that again.
19% pass rush win rate. 19%. And do you know what the NFL average is? 43. They were atrocious rushing the passer last week. If they don't get any pressure on Stafford, he is going to eat them alive in this game with their secondary, because you don't have a second good cornerback. Your safeties are not great. They're just kind of Jags, just a guy, right? So I love the Rams 3. I'm happy we got that in pocket. I think the Rams is a great teaser leg if you want to tease them tonight. Prop-wise, man, to beat Akua, because you're going to get a lot of zone from the San Francisco team, and if they play zone and they're sitting there and they're just hanging out, and Nakua is able to run to open spots and Stafford isn't being pressured, he's going to have another big night. 100-plus yards, last I looked, was plus 110. I would go to Nakua 100-plus at plus 110. If you're looking for props on the San Francisco side, it's McCaffrey and Tungus. Those are the guys that are going to get all the targets. So I would lean toward those two guys if you want to look at receiving yards over. But McCaffrey's been bumped up, man. We were talking about him at 42, 45 the last 2 weeks. He's at 58.5 at some books. So we're seeing a 13-yard adjustment. I would rather go Tungus over yards than McCaffrey with the adjustment.
I'll go 49ers team total under 17.5. I really like this Rams defense. One thing about Stafford, I will say, not too long ago, he was 55.5 MVP, 16-1 now. 55-1 to 16-1. And I think it's legit. Now, he's not going to get the rush numbers like an Allen or whomever, but the Nakua, and you and I argued about it on Mad Dog Sports Radio, when he wasn't top 10 with the execs as far as receiver, I said at the time, he's 3 with a bullet, and now he's being discussed with Chase and Jefferson in the same conversation. He is remarkable, and Adams has been great too. Kyren Williams is 7th in the league in rushing. This is a legit Super Bowl team.
Can I throw something at you? Puka Nakua, right now, plus 10,000 to win the MVP. Do you know who he is surrounded by? He's surrounded by Caleb Williams, C.J. Stroud, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, Justin Fields. He's got a lot better chance than those dudes to win the MVP. Not saying I'm like running in with the Brinks truck and just dropping it off at Circa to get a Puka Nakua MVP ticket, but there are worse players that you could look at that price. And if he goes for 2,000 this year, and I do think that is on the table, and it's like, do you give it to Josh Allen and his cupcakes off schedule, or do you give it to somebody else? I think Nakua is at least in that conversation.
I think he is. I want to look up awards real quick for Nakua on Offensive Player of the Year.
He is the favorite.
Yeah,
in that
he's the
market.
Favorite at 3-1. And receivers win that award.
Yeah, 3-1 is not a bad price at all. And if we're in the awards market, Patrick, can I throw you one more?
Please.
Offensive Rookie of the Year. Tyler Warren at plus 850 is wrong.
Nice.
I understand that Abuka's been awesome. Abuka's about to get a lot of competition in that wide receiver room. Tyler Warren's going to be a thing throughout this entire season. We're seeing him get rushes at the goal line. He's got a higher average yards per route run than Abuka does. I think that Warren has the longer upside. And then the other part of this is you look at the Colts. Who gets the award from the Colts? It's not Daniel Jones for MVP. Maybe you could make a Steichen Coach of the Year argument. But I think Tyler Warren is absolutely live to win Rookie of the Year. I like the 8.5-1 price.
Is there a Taylor Offensive Player of the Year? But let's see what his number is. 4.5-1. He's your second betting favorite.
Yeah, that one's Puka Nakua 3-1. Jonathan Taylor 4.5-1. Bijan Robinson 5-1. McCaffrey 6-1. Everybody 15 or more after that.
Okay, so let's do this. I'm going to toss our plays. I'm going to toss the Raiders. It's no longer 7.5. I'm going to go Pats +8.5 as what I love, and I love the Saints lane too.
Yeah, I'm interested in both of those. I've got a couple more. Give me the Colts and the Raiders. I'm going to go over 47.5 in a game I think is going to feature some offense. I'm going to hold my nose and lay it with the Vikings. This is just too good of a spot to pass up laying it there. So -3.5 for the Vikings there. I will continue to ride the Texans under train. Ravens Texans under 40.5. You could have gotten 45.5 if you listened on Sunday. And then A.J. Brown catch on the first drive, -110. I also like that Bengals team total that I mentioned, 20.5. Let's take the under on the Bengals team total, 20.5.
All right, and let's finish off with Survivor. And by the way, Ready, Set, Bet on Saturdays. Samich and Brown have the contest show, which you can listen to on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Also, Channel 158 on Sirius XM. You can hear me on Mad Dog Sports Radio on VSiN Live Monday through Friday. Samich joins on Friday. Let's go Survivor. I know where the cool dads are going here. I know.
You do.
Yeah.
Where are we going?
We're going with me and the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. We're taking the Rams tonight.
Oh, you're spot on. We were planning on taking the Bills, and I'm like, let's just hold the Bills. Let's hang out with the Bills. We don't need to take the Bills. I tried to talk them into Minnesota. I got shut down. This is not the Minnesota-style group. But we ended up on the Rams tonight. So we will be rooting for the Los Angeles Rams to take care of business and move on to week number 6 in Survivor. And we will be rooting for the Tennessee Titans because they're expected to get between 35 and 40% of the pool. About 50% of people have them left. The Arizona Cardinals left. This is the week you've got to use Arizona if you haven't. So a lot of Titans fans in Survivor this week.
Yeah, we had already used Arizona as well. I actually, in a bounce back spot with the time zone, I like your Minnesota play. I feel like on a short week with a 2-0 team at home, McVay, I understand he's had troubles against Shanahan, but San Francisco is in a world of hurt coming up tonight on Thursday Night Football to kick off week 5. All right. Yeah,
they're outmanned on both sides of the ball. So hopefully this is a rocking chair victory, and then we can root against all the favorites on Sunday.
Root for our plays, and we root for your plays as well. Remember, the Thursday night game is the best example of our formula on this program. Come back with us on Sunday night into Monday morning. We'll get at these numbers early. Samich, anything on the way out?
Looking forward to another good week, Patrick. It's fun being ahead of the numbers.
Let's go.
Let's cash some tickets now, right?
And let's go Detroit Tigers just for my mom in Michigan. Oh, Patrick, she loves them. It's Sharp Money. Download, subscribe. Go ahead.
Can I give you a bonus bet?
I would love a bonus bet.
This is coming from like way left field. Give me the Detroit Pistons.
Oh, geez.
To win the Eastern Conference.
Let's go, Samo.
Let's go. You can get him as high as 40-1. Detroit Pistons to win the Eastern Conference. I love Ivy coming back, and you guys actually have cap space. If there is a disgruntled superstar, Detroit has the assets to go get him. And the Pacers are down the superstar. The Celtics are down a superstar. People are all over the Hawks. Really? Ice Trey is going to stop the Pistons from their run? No, give me the Pistons, 40-1.
Yeah, NBA stands for ACL, and that equals the Pistons in the East. Let's go Cade Cunningham, who's a superstar. And that's it for Sharp Money. We'll see you Sunday night into Monday morning. Download, subscribe, like, do all of that. We appreciate you. We'll see you next time.